it's time.
The countdown is on. One more sleep. Tomorrow night, we are heading to Dracula's, the institution, the theatre restaurant in Melbourne that we've all grown up seeing there in Carlton. Whenever you're near the city or going through Carlton, you go, look at that cool place, Dracula's. I'll go there one day.
Guess what, Melbourne?
Soon, you won't get the chance to. It's closing.
It's cooked.
Three of us have never been. Fev's never wanted to. He's very honest about that. But I've always thought to myself, I'd love a night at Dracula's. So tomorrow night, we're going. We want you to come with us. So 13 10 60. Are we doing that now, Byron? You want to give away some tickets?
Why not? 13 10 60. There might be a couple of conditions attached.
Yeah. Okay. So 13 10 60. If you do want to come with us, it's a table. Now there is a condition. So we're in a little of a predicament. Fev's got a teammate from the Melton South Panthers.
Yes, I do.
Does he play in the twos? Was he?
Oh, he mightn't get a game in the twos this year.
And he's become a mate of the show. He introduces himself. Have you got? Can we just play?
He does have a catchphrase.
He's got a catchphrase.
Ring a ding ding, Honky is the king.
Now, Honky calls the show occasionally, and he did call the other day, and I do recall him saying, "Can I come to Dracula's?" And we sort of, I think we said yes.
Yeah, we said
yes. He's under the impression that Leon, our executive producer, definitely said that Honky could come.
All right.
Problem is, we have seriously limited seats.
Very tight.
Very limited seats. So the only scenario we can come up with is if on 13 10 60 you want to come to Dracula's and you want to call now, it's usually for you and three mates. But we're hoping there's someone that might call through that will be prepared to bring two mates and have Honky at their table.
And I feel sorry for Honky Boxy because he usually is the third or fourth wheel.
Right. It's happened
he's
again.
Like, oh, do you want to come with us? Poor Honky's by himself.
Okay, now we've got a Honky on the line. Are you there, Honky?
Ring-a-ding-ding, Honky is the king. What's happening, guys?
Honky, you've been texting Fev every day saying, am I coming to Dracula's? Have I got a ticket? And we've been in this predicament, but obviously you're very keen to come, aren't you?
Oh, 110%. I've been told that I was coming, so I was like, you beauty organised the table, told the guys, going to Dracula's, and I've been shafted.
So, Honky, we can get you one seat else's table.
Just you, Honky.
Now, Honky, who's ringing in to win these tickets,
he's flat.
Can you sell yourself? Like, are you going to be good company on the night? What will you bring to the table?
Oh, I'll bring plenty. I'm a funny guy. I'll even get up on stage with the big man if I need to.
So right now, if you want to win tickets, Honky is great entertainment. He's got very good jokes. You've got a good pickup line, Honky. Do you want to do your pickup line?
Yeah, but it's better to do it on the night.
Yeah, okay.
It's better if I pick my hand out.
Hold your fire.
Ladies, Honky's got a good pickup line. So this is a.
Needs them.
So we're going to try to get you, Honky, one seat at someone else's table. Stand by, 13 10 60. Will you allow Honky to sit at your table at Dracula's?
If they say no, Honky, unfortunately, you won't be able to attend.
Boo!
We'll come back to your calls.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Dracula's time.
Fifi, it's a Melbourne institution. It closes December 23rd. Tomorrow night, we're having a massive night at Dracula's to help them go out with a real bang. But there is a problem here.
There is a little problem. We have limited seats and we're inviting people. We've got these tickets to give away, but they're for tickets for one lucky caller and three of their mates. Now, we've only got so many tables left. And Fev's teammate from the Melton South Panthers, Honky. He was hoping to get a ticket. He's been texting Fev every day, and we don't have a ticket for Honky, but we have said for the next person who wins a table, maybe they would be open to having Honky sit with them. So, Lisa from Werribee, you are the lucky winner today. You're coming to Dracula's with us.
Woo-hoo.
Now, Lise, you know, and according to the terms and conditions of this arrangement that you and I just have now, you can bring three people.
Okay.
With you.
Cool.
Are you open to bringing Honky and having him sit at your table as one of your friends?
Oh, I've got a pretty rowdy bunch of girlfriends.
You're beauty.
Lise, before you answer, maybe Honky, who is here, Honky, could you convince Lisa to have you at her table?
Oh, she wants a king on her table, best she bring me, huh? Otherwise,
good sell.
Otherwise, it's going to be terrible.
Sounds like an offer that's very easy to refuse.
But if I don't get it on her table, can I just take Greg's spot?
Oh, excuse me.
Really good point.
Actually, there may be reasons for me wanting to give my spot away. Look, this is a mess. We'll have to take a song. I don't think we've resolved this for Honky. It sounds like Lisa has other plans for the table.
Oh, she shafted me too. Okay.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
It's and a special really, guest is here, Fifi.
It is a very big day for the LGBT community and they've had a tough time of late. And we're going through this whole process, I think we all have. There's so much on today and we're joined now by Opposition Leader Bill Shorten. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Oh, great to be on the show, guys.
Now, Bill, where are you? It's a big morning. Where are you going today?
Well, I'm going down to the State Library at 10 o'clock. All around Australia, there are central places where when the result is read out by the Chief Statistician of the Bureau of Statistics in Canberra, there'll be then a series of events, hopefully celebrations. The atmosphere won't be so cool if it doesn't.
Yeah, well, speaking about it, the celebrations, so you're obviously going to do a speech. So you've got your yes, which it should be, the speech. Mm. If it's a no speech, just get off stage or...?
No, I voted for marriage equality in 2012. I won't give up campaigning for it, but I'll be clearly very disappointed. I didn't think we needed to have a whole survey, $122 million.
A lot of money.
Because what happens is, let's assume that the pundits and the polls are right and that it's a yes. What will happen is this afternoon and tomorrow morning, the marriage equality legislation will be put up into the Senate and then that'll be debated. Then the next week, the Senate resumes, starting the 27th of November. It'll finish there. Hopefully it'll pass there. Then it'll come to the House of Reps. Hopefully we'll finish it around the 1st of December, the 31st of November, or the week beginning the 4th of December.
So that's all going smoothly. That's how good. Yeah. But is it possible, Bill, so if it is a yes, could it get caught up and held up in the Senate and then the House of Reps?
Oh, listen, candidly, Mr Turnbull's got some people in his party who say that if the marriage equality legislation passes, it'll impinge on religious freedom. They're wrong. So, I think there's enough people in the parliament. I'm lucky on the Labor Party, I think all but about two people support it. So there's enough votes in the parliament, if the Liberals have a conscience vote, for it to get through. I think Australians want us to do this and just get on and do everything else. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the world and households.
And speaking of that, it's a very big day and all eyes. We'll be covering it all day today, so keep your ears on the Fox.
We have a big day tomorrow, Boxing.
We do. Well, that's speaking of other big things that are going on.
It's slightly less important.
Roller coaster, your show, isn't it?
It is! Bill, we would like to let you know that tomorrow night, if you've got nothing on and you're still in the mood to celebrate, we are celebrating the end of an institution in Melbourne. Dracula's Theatre Restaurant is closing down.
Oh, say that is not so.
Yes.
Where do you have the boozy staff breakup from?
Exactly. Oh. Not cut at Hunchbacks, that's gone.
We're banned from everywhere around South Melbourne.
Correct.
Okay. We'd love you to come along with us. You'll have to beg Honky for his chair, another mate of the show, but... Bill,
have you heard about Honky?
No.
He's my teammate.
Ring-a-ding-ding, Honky is the king.
Good bloke. Great guy.
Yeah, there's a surprise.
He hasn't got a ticket.
Do you like theatre restaurants?
I'll give Honky a go.
Would you?
I'll give out my ticket.
Do you enjoy a theatre restaurant night, though, Bill? Is that somewhere you and your family
would
go?
It's a particular genre of entertainment. I have to make a confession. I have been to a theatre restaurant recently. Well, it was the beginning of last year, but it's still scarred in my head. My youngest daughter, Clementine, she's a great singer and she was really into Titanic, My Heart Will Go On.
Yes.
So she said she was into all things film Titanic, so she wanted to go to a theatre restaurant. And then we said, all right. So Chloe and I said, great, great. We dragged some friends. But then Clemmie said, you've all got to dress up. All right, okay, we'll dress up. And that was great and we got there.
What did you dress up as?
Oh, I wore a dinner suit and someone else wore a captain suit and the girls wore sort of early 20th century ball gowns. They're on ships that drown. And then when we got there, no one else was in gear. You could just see people saying, is that Bill Shorten? Damn, we knew he was an idiot. Anyway,
that's
been a federal election since then, so the public hopefully have forgiven.
Well, we've got a Frankenfurter outfit if you're interested in turning up to Dracula's tomorrow night. You could wear that.
I'm not saying I haven't had worse offers, but I've had a few better too.
A huge morning, and we thank the opposition leader, Bill Shorten, for being here this morning. And on behalf of the Fox, call it politics, but we have blatantly put it out there that the Fox supports supports marriage equality. We've been on the Yes camp the whole way through, and hopefully it's a big morning for everyone this morning.
And yes, we have. And I want to ask you one question. I actually watch a bit of Sit Down in Parliament. That's on in the afternoon.
Question time.
Question time's affectionately known by
It's actually really...
When there's a break, a half-time at the basketball.
Hey, it's actually great viewing. Yeah, they just go at each other. It's really entertaining. But I look at you politicians and all around the world, and I just think, you get bloody tired.
Occasionally.
How much sleep do you get?
It was my wife and I's wedding anniversary last night, so a bit like an athlete. At about 10 o'clock, I said, all right, honey, got a big day tomorrow.
Most athletes, mate, they sleep in separate rooms the night before a game.
To be fair, I'm not an athlete. So.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Here's an interesting thing that's happening in Melbourne that's been reported in our papers. Illegal brothels are on the rise in our southeastern suburbs, particularly Bayswater, Ferntree Gully, Boronia and nearby suburbs. Now, I don't know why. I guess we're not sure, and that's not been revealed why they're on the rise. There's so many illegal brothels. But there was another story in the paper today that intrigued me. A mum, has come out and said that she's been living a double life. So she is an escort. And all her friends, none of her friends know, her family knows, she's got an alias. She was a photographer, and through her photography, she met some escorts.
Yep.
And that sort of led to, you know, you could get into it too. Anyway, she's ended up in the sex industry, but nobody knows.
Wow. How would you keep that
But this is the thing. I find this fascinating, because to hear this story that that illegal brothels are on the rise, and there must be people living double lives, or there must be people who know friends or family members who are in the sex industry. And I thought we could ask that, 131060. Do you know somebody who is in the sex industry? Because it's an interesting predicament for them, because there's so much judgment around it that people feel the need to hide it. And, well, particularly by the nature of a lot of these brothels, they're illegal.
Right.
But did you find out somebody was? And it was unexpected.
Yeah, all
and,
right.
And well, maybe you found out in a way, you know, that wasn't necessarily from them.
Yeah, well, there's already calls coming through on 131060, so we can take some
because
after
I'm
the
interested
break.
In how it plays out in a family or a friendship group. Because we often talk about discrimination and judgment.
We have a voice disguiser too, so if you are one.
Yeah, and you want to talk about it.
Yep.
But it's interesting because I do think that we're, you know, now in this incredibly politically correct society, and we're very aware of judgment and bullying and discrimination. Yet I feel like if you work in the sex industry, these people do have to keep it to themselves.
You're judged.
And how hard is it to keep up the facade, pretend that you're working photography when you don't? Mm-hmm.
It'd be tough. I imagine it would be a tough life. Doing photography at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, 1 a.m. in the morning.
Doesn't add up, does it? Anyway, 131060. We will come back to some calls on this. They're already coming through. They're next with Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
We're talking about people who work in the sex industry who maybe do it on the quiet or on the sly, because there's a new report saying that there's a rise in illegal brothels, which is not a good thing because they're illegal, obviously, in Bayswater, Ferntree Gully, Boronia, and nearby suburbs. And somebody's come out today. She's an escort and she's been living a double life. Her name's Aubrey Black. She's a mum of two kids, but all her friends thought she worked in the photography industry. Mm. And now she's saying, no, I'm going to own it. This is what I do. It would be a really tough thing because there's such a stigma attached to working in that industry and what people think, what your family think. I can't imagine living like that, terrified that people might find out what you do. So we've opened the phone lines to talk to people who work in the sex industry, or maybe their family members who found out they had a relative work in the industry. And we've got Julie from Sunshine. Hi, Julie.
Hi, guys.
Julie, now, from what perspective are you ringing? Are you a family member or are you someone who actually works in the industry?
It was actually a really close friend.
Hmm.
Yeah, she was doing it, but I was unaware until, you know, quite a long time after.
And Julie, how did you find out, and what was your reaction, and how did you, you know, honestly feel about your friend when you did find out?
I actually found out through my dad.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
No, you guys, come on.
Oh, sorry. Wow. Okay. Clear that up before you drop that bomb.
My dad found out through one of his friends, because obviously we're posting pictures together and stuff like that. So when they noticed, they pulled my dad aside and they told him. And when he came and told me, I didn't believe him straight away. I thought he was just trying to get me to, you know, focus more on work or whatever it might be. Because I did spend a majority of my time with her.
And did you talk to her about it, Julie? Have you confronted her?
Yeah, I actually asked her about it and she did not deny it. She was actually quite, in the community, she was quite open about it. Like, she's not ashamed or anything.
Yeah, it's just not something you would announce unless, if someone asked you, I'm sure you'd be, yep, but you're not going to go shouting it from the rooftops, are you?
No, but interesting. But Julie, has it, because obviously your friend doesn't shout it from the rooftops, maybe afraid of what people would think, and you're one of her friends. How do you feel about it? And is the friendship fine and you've been able to, you know, get over it?
Look, me personally, I was in shock because, you know, that's not necessarily something that I would do.
But you respect her right to do it, and
yeah. Look, at the time, not straight away.
Yeah.
But our friendship did continue, just not as close as we used to be.
Interesting, and really honest, Julie. Thank you for that, because I think that's the thing we all think. Oh no, we'll be fine with it, but maybe confronted with it, you would.
It's up to the person. People shouldn't have a problem with it.
Well, that's what I mean, Feb. Yeah. This is the thing. We promote it. We say don't discriminate, don't have 100%. Judgment. But that's what's interesting to hear from people who are in their situations, what really happens.
I just love to know, with this survey that's come out in the eastern suburbs...
Where they are?
How would they know?
No.
How would they know that there's a rise? How would they know that they're... How would people know that they're a brothel?
Because people in the sex industry have started talking about it. So it's basically leaking.
Okay.
Well, that's a bad word to use at this time. We've got Sarah from Werribee. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, guys.
Now, Sarah, you've got an alias. That's not actually your name, because you used to be work in the sex industry.
Yeah, I used to be a working girl about 5 or 6 years ago, I think.
So, Sarah, talk us through, how did you keep it a secret? Were you worried about your family or maybe friends finding out? How hard was it living that life?
Yeah, so nobody knew. I said that I was a bartender. And that was the reason for me constantly working really, really late nights. So for about 8 months, no one knew at all. Like my parents lived in another state, so it was obviously a little bit harder to keep from them. But I was a uni student at the time, and my housemate and I, obviously, you know, like a bit tight on money, we sort of thought, this would be interesting, just doing maybe some escorting work, and being young and naive, we sort of thought it was like going on dates and stuff. So we went and checked out an establishment, and before we went in, we sort of thought about the things that you see in the movies, like sort of drugs everywhere, and, you know, it's quite filthy, and girls just looking very provocative and all that sort of thing. But we went in there, and we were so surprised. It was so clean. All the women were so beautiful, were very, very well dressed. The entire time that I worked there for the whole year, I never saw anyone doing drugs. It was totally different to what I thought it would be. I think because I worked in a high-end establishment as well, it was a little bit different, but I always felt really safe there. But then after about probably 9 or 10 months, some people from the area that I lived in, they would actually come in there, and one of them actually saw me one day, and I freaked out, and it was really, really confronting. But then he actually came up to me and said, look, you know, it's okay. I'm not going to tell anyone. You know, I come here and stuff as well, and I understand. Like, I sort of come here all the time, so I understand, like, the role that you do, and it's not about what you see on TV. It is quite different, but...
Sarah, did you do the work to put yourself through uni financially?
No. Like, I mean, no, like all my uni was just on hex and stuff, but it was more just about, you know, at the time being young, like we didn't really have much money, and it was more just, we just went there just to have a look to see, you know, what it would be like and if it would be something we'd be interested in. But then when I went there and spoke to some of the women, I thought, I could do this. You know, it's really, it's not at all as bad as it seems on the movies and on TV.
And then, Seb, we have to go because we've got to play Alpha Bucks in a minute, but do you regret it or was there a negative side to it that, you know, you had to hide it and you would upset that your family might find out?
No, I don't regret it. I just see it as a life lesson and something that, you know, I'll just take with me for the rest of my life, I guess. It's not something I would ever go back to. But, yeah, it's just, you know, a bit of a life story, I guess.
Yeah, well, you sound positive and you're in a good headspace, which is good, Sarah, because I think a lot of people in the industry feel that they are discriminated against and there is judgment, and that is a shame.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
It is back. And he is back. Rocky Horror Show returning to Melbourne at Her Majesty's Theatre from July 13 next year. Strictly limited season this time, and we love this guy back on the show.
He's not here enough. Craig McLaughlin is back on the show.
What can I tell you guys? How do you do? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, Fev, he thought you were the candy man. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Right now, I wish I was in the playground. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, that's another, not officially part of the lyric, but right. You guys know what I'm talking
we
about.
We do. Wow. He just opened with the song.
Oh, wow. You are an amazing entertainer,
no,
Craig.
You are.
No, you are.
Don't get me started.
This is great news. Rocky Horror back at Her Majesty's Theatre because it has to be back. I mean, Craig, it is so popular. You may never leave the stage as Frankenfurter.
Well, do you know, can you imagine me in the G-string and fishnets at 80? But never say
yes,
never.
Actually.
Never say never. Yeah, I can, actually.
How do I see you've met my... Full hand him out.
But the truth is, when I popped in and saw you guys when we were here with the show for the return season, maybe only about 18 months ago or something.
Yeah.
Honestly, we could have just taken up a residency and stayed in Melbourne. Melbourne, yeah. Wow. Melbourne loves this show. Melbourne rocks anyway.
Yeah. Mm.
But they love this show. And it's a naughty town. And seriously, on a Friday or Saturday night, for us on stage, it's more of a show watching the audience. you see some riotous stuff. There was a particular Saturday night here in Melbourne last time. There was a bunch of gals in the front room. I said to them in the jacuzzi back at the hotel, after the show, I said, you guys really know how to party. And they said,
wow.
That just happened.
Hey, you worry about me, don't you?
Actually, you two will never hang out. Ever.
You've got nowhere to go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's happening. I seriously don't know what's
You've
happening.
You've left Fev lost the words. The party boy of Melbourne. You just know what to say, Craig.
I was the party boy of Melbourne. I matured since I turned 36.
Sure.
Yes.
36,
Fev. Oh, yes.
Are you still a
it.
Pup?
Yes, I am. There's plenty more bubbles to be blown in jacuzzis, my friend.
Oh, here we go.
Hey! Singer!
Now, this is great timing, Craig, because with the return of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, we also have an iconic, I'm going to say, similar vein, similar genre. Dracula's Theatre Restaurant is closing down, so you're returning.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Don't wind me up on a day. This is a day of celebration for me coming back and hanging out with you guys. Mm. Dracula's is closing? Are you hurting me?
Yes. A Melbourne icon. That theatre restaurant is gone.
It's gone, Craig.
Oh, he's going to sing a song.
Yeah, I think I will.
We just had one prepared.
Frankenstein was the first in line and the Wolfman, he came up next.
Going on.
Dracula was doing his thing, breathing down my neck. Yeehaw! Get back, jump back, here comes a hunchback. You better get out of his way. Beep, beep, bop, 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 me was a monster's holiday. You'd be too young to remember that one.
Yeah, that was extraordinary.
You're amazing.
Yes, it is. But to answer your question before you broke into song.
I can only apologise.
Someone
take this guitar off me.
It's closing up. It's over, Craig.
Fev's taking it. I'm just turning to my publicist.
Confiscate his guitar.
Piano accordion in.
I want him to keep
and
playing.
And the cello.
It's
the
so
two
good.
Other things I want.
Don't get the guitar.
The guitar's gone.
Guitar's gone.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
This guy's in the studio with the Rocky Horror Show returning to Melbourne, Her Majesty's Theatre. July 13 next year, a strictly limited season. Tickets are on sale November 24th. Just a jump. At ticketek.com.au.
Now, let's get back to Dracula's.
Yes. Yeah, so Dracula is closing down, and closing. We have a big party. We're going there tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And we're going to take all these listeners with us. They're all bringing their friends to really celebrate the last hurrah at Dracula's.
Wow.
Well, firstly, congratulations. Mm. Well done to celebrate an icon.
Yes. Yeah,
the icon that
we've
is
never
Dracula's.
Been. None of us.
Never been.
We're also part of the problem.
They're kidding, folks.
We never went.
They're kidding. They're regulars there, as we all are.
Now, I believe that, Craig, in celebration of, obviously, you, Frankenfurter and Rocky Horror Show back in Melbourne at Her Majesty's Theatre, you have something to donate, maybe, to this last hurrah at Dracula's.
I do have something.
Oh, this is good. Look at the badge.
Because for you, Byron. It's no secret.
Don't look at me. Why are you looking at me, Craig?
The Byster. Big bad name. Big bad B. Yeah. The Byster.
What's real name, Greg.
Loves to frock up.
I've been confused for the last 5 minutes.
Don't we all?
This isn't helping.
I'm going to, technically speaking, folks, go off mic for a second.
Oh, this is
and
good.
Just make my way around to the main man. Oh. And present a little something.
I'm a little bit scared.
Craig something McLaughlin in a nice has a big gift black bag. For you, Byron.
A black bag.
It's opening there's the bag.
And that's your costume for Dracula. See what you can do with those pearls, Byron.
Celebrating the icon that is. Celebrating the icon that is. Dracula. Do you remember Gary Oldman in the film, by the way? I digress. Even with a guitar out of my hand.
Yeah.
No, no, we don't.
I would travel an ocean of time to be with you.
Ooh, never make that sound again.
That was really good. Feb does that too.
What? Is this? Don't tell me.
It is Craig McLaughlin's Frankenverter outfit
that's
costume.
It's a corset.
Byron.
Of course it is.
You want me to be Frankenverter?
Yes, and what an honour to have Craig McLaughlin christen your outfit.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Your Frankenverter. That's Frankenverter himself.
Thank you, Craig.
Can I give you a pearl necklace?
Yeah. Oh, he's just did a pearl necklace gag. All right, so, okay, so I'm dressing up as Frankenverter.
Yes, yes, you are.
But that's a really revealing. That's full on.
Yes.
Full on.
That's
wow.
Craig
but it's
does
full
it.
On. It's like it's intensely full on.
It's
you'll
intensely full on.
You'll need a spray tan, a wax. I've seen that when we got
actually, I was going to get all that anyway, so work can pay for that. So that's good news. But other than that, all right.
And you've got to compare yourself to Craig, and no one feels it out like Craig. Exactly.
He's so fit and iconic. What's he doing? He just looked me up and down.
No, don't be alarmed. I'm just. But look, you are already a towering figure. And in the heels. How spectacular is that going to be? People will take.
She's got chicken legs, though.
To the summit of the Beaster.
He called you a beast.
You're going to look spectacular in heels.
This,
matter of fact,
what?
Remember that old
beard?
You're off mic,
mate.
How long have you been in entertainment?
I'm here. I'm back.
There we go.
Where's the guitar?
The guitar again. Yeah. This is a disaster.
Hey, this is a wind-up, Byron. Thanks for having us. Hey, beautiful.
I love it.
Craig McLaughlin.
What a huge honour. You just had Craig McLaughlin give you his Frankenfurter outfit.
Yeah, a real honour.
Does it get better than
quick,
that?
Quick, it's about to play. Quick, wind it up.
Do yourself a favour, if I can borrow from Molly, do yourself a favour. Just hold your breath when you put that corset on. We didn't have time.
Might need a steam clean.
All right.
It's astounding. Time is
still going.
Waiting. Madness takes its toll.
This is the worst day of my life.
No, it's the best day. Best day.
Yeah, the Rocky Horror. No, thank you, Craig McLaughlin. The Rocker.
The Rocker.
I can't even.
Yeah, you heard it.
Trying to promote your show.
Come on.
No, it's going to be great. The Rocky Horror Show returns to Melbourne, Her Majesty's Theatre from July 13 next year. Ticketek.com.au for your tickets. And then thanks so much for the costume, I guess. The Frankenfurter costume to wear tomorrow night.
Yeah, big thank you.
Now give us an out, mate. Here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Play us out.
Tell you, Fifi, what I want to do.
Oh, no.
Ad break.
I want to spend some time with you. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we do. That's
can
the problem.
I see you sometime. Come on, Fifi. In a parallel universe, you'd be mine.
Oh, yuck.
Fun part. Get the hell out of here.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Well, our next guest, Fif and Fev, burst onto the scene in 99. At 16, achieved what is still regarded as one of the greatest upsets in tennis history. She beat Martina Hingis in the opening round of Wimbledon. That's at 16. She was in the top 10 by the age of 18 and by 19, ranked number 4 in the world. And she's in the studio. She has the book out. People have been talking about it. Unbreakable, available now in all good bookstores.
Such an honest, raw, book that is going to break records on the charts at the moment because Yelena Dokic, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
And well done. I have to say, what a brave decision to sit and write this and share so much of your life. Having been in the spotlight since you were 16, can you take us back to when you were a teenager, essentially? I mean, no one knows how to handle the public that being in the spotlight. Mm. What was that like for you as a teenager going through what you went through?
Oh, it's tough. I think on top of, you know, having to play on the pro circuit, and I was very good, very young, and getting on the circuit in a very tough sport, really. And I had a lot going on, you know, behind closed doors, basically. So it was hard. It was, I had to juggle a lot of things. But also the success that I had was hard to enjoy, really, because I had so many other things going on. Yeah.
I was about to say that. When you beat the Swiss Miss at 16, and she was so good at Wimbledon, to beat her round one, how did you feel afterwards? Did you feel, I've just like won a grand final, or did you think, oh, geez, I wonder what my people in my box are going to say? And are you able to enjoy that?
You can say it, my father.
Your father.
It's all good.
I just didn't know where we're going to go, and I'll say your father.
Well, after this book, I can go anywhere. No, yeah, it was, and I detail that actually in the book. I talk about that how excited and happy I was, and then you know, a second later, I look over and there's no excitement from him. He's actually already leaving the court, like you know, he always was, and always that was just him. So there was a lot of those things that actually, even with everything that was going on with him and all the abuse and everything, I had result-wise, you know, some very good moments. But again, they were turned into these, you know, not so enjoyable things because I couldn't even enjoy those because he almost didn't allow me to.
Well, having played a professional sport, and my parents sort of took a back seat because they didn't really know much about footy, so they couldn't really get involved. But I go watch my kids play footy and I watch other kids play footy. And you see those helicopter parents that are screaming on the side of the sidelines, and you can see their kids' faces just drop. What sort of advice do you have for parents in that situation?
Yeah, it was very difficult because I was one of those kids too. And now that you say their faces drop, and very often, you know, they're in tears, and even if they're not, they're on the brink of it, and you can see it. And when I look at some of the footage now, when I go back, and you can see that. So yeah, it's tough. Look, for me, the only thing I can also do is kind of put myself in the position what I would be like as a parent, and if my kid was in tennis or in any other sport. So I think for me, definitely support all the way, and just support them in whatever they want to do. But that doesn't mean, you know, that you have to abuse them in any way. You can still make someone work hard and show them, you know, what discipline is, what work ethic is, but in a different way.
You have been so brave, and it is so raw, Yelena. I just want to read a bit to you, just for people listening to realise, you know, how open you've been. One of the chapters you say, today he chooses the bathroom. This is your father. In a small space, I have nowhere to run. He removes the brown belt from his trousers and instructs me to take off my top, and he's hitting me and berating me. And then the names he was calling you, I won't even say. But that is so open and raw, and this is all through the book, so it's an incredible read. But I guess people want to know, where are you at with your father now?
Everyone's reading that passage, by the way.
I bet.
Yeah.
It's really full.
Yeah, it is. Well, first of all, when I was going into this, it was all about either being completely honest and telling the story the way that it was and the truth, because I think a lot of people actually had no idea just what I went through, and also how bad it was, and I needed to put that out there. And I think people didn't really know the real me, and this is what this is about. And yeah, look, it was very hard to write this book. I'm not in contact with my dad. That was actually a question I went off at a little bit. I've tried a couple times to reconcile with him, and there is just, I think, for me, there's nothing to talk about anymore. You know, when you're 15 years on and someone still can't even apologize or take a little bit of responsibility or even find anything wrong in what he did, then, you know, there's nothing to talk about, let alone have a relationship with
him. Where is he? Because
like
you live in Melbourne with your husband, loving Melbourne. Where is
he? He's in Europe.
Okay. Yelena Dokic is our guest. Unbreakable is the book. It's available now in all good bookstores. She is going to hang around. There's more to cover off.
Fifi
Fev and Byron.
But we're joined at the moment by Yelena Dokic in the studio. Yelena, this incredible book, so raw, so candid, unbreakable. There's just so many things to ask.
And you speak about all the people judging you and not knowing what was going on in your life, and that's the media. Mm-hmm. And we're obviously in the media, but how did you feel when they, especially when you came back and you were trying to qualify again for the Australian Open, and people were saying she's finished, she's done this, and why is she coming back? How did you feel mentally knowing what you've gone through and they don't know?
Well, that was tough, but for me it was tougher because I was young, and then even when I left home at 19, because he was so out there and all the incidences that we had at Wimbledon and US Open, the tough part was, or actually very hard for me to understand, that he was funny and he was a joke, especially to the media. Whereas actually, if you looked really, you know, if you looked at it for a second, he was not funny at all. Like, he was, you know, drunk every time that they saw him, and every time, you know, he did things.
Especially at Wimbledon.
Yeah, and he was aggressive and he was scary. So I think it's hard to understand why no one... I'm talking about like the media right now, because they were writing about him in that way. Didn't take a second and think, well, you know, this is not normal. Because if you look at him, I look at footage today, and he's just off. It's just not right. So that was the difficult part that I didn't understand. The second thing was, look, did people know certain things were going on? Look, I think so. A couple people I know that knew. But again, look, I don't judge anyone. I'm not blaming anyone. It is what it is. And I think we need to go forward and move forward from this. And for me, it was tough because after I left home, I didn't have support. So even just based on what you saw him doing and everything in the media, I think you would come up to a person and just ask how they were, you know? And this is what I didn't have and didn't understand.
Yeah,
I know I was, because of his actions, people regarded me. I was, you know, bratty, and I was arrogant because of what he was doing, and he was going kind of through me. I was paying the price for it, and I was saying things that he wanted to say and making the decisions, like the one when I left Australia, which is what he wanted. But still, after that, they kind of didn't give me a chance, which was tough.
When he got ejected from Wimbledon out of the courts, did you as a player have a relief knowing that he wasn't there? When you were playing?
When he got ejected.
Yeah. But he was back the next day. So,
so he
was just for the day. He got banned for 6 months at one stage, which was kind of, to be honest with you, nice for me to be on a tour. But then, you know, he was back. But it was also tough. Even when he wasn't on the tour, it was still hard for me at home. So it's not like it made a difference. Yeah.
Well, Yelena, it's an incredible book. Unbreakable. Your bravery and your courage to even come out and talk about it. It's a really difficult thing to do. And we really appreciate you
coming
in today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Bloody champion.
Yeah, bloody champion. Fifi, Fev and Byron. In fact, Fifi Wonga Park days, I mean, it might have been an interesting clash, Yelena versus Fifi.
She used to play tennis.
Under 14 Wonga Park champion.
No big deal. No biggie. Fifi, Fev and Byron on the Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. Fifi, Fev and Byron.